I want to taper off the military aid within the next 10 years.
You want to taper it off to zero within 10 years?
Yes.
That would be a very dramatic shift.
Well, it's in the works.
So I talked to Bibi just a few minutes ago, and I said, what would you like me to say? He said, Israel's not going to live this way anymore. They're not going to live under threat from Iran anymore.
Netanyahu went on Fox to eulogize Graham and said, don't worry, we don't need your money anymore. We have a new plan. Yeah, to merge with our military and say you co-own all of our weapon systems and the $1 trillion of U.S. weapon sales every year.
The last conversation I had with him, I said, Lindsay, we've come of age. We have a robust economy. We can take care of our own.
We run your Congress now. And
financing our own weapons for the defense of Israel and defense of our common interests with America. So I'm going to phase out the support, the military support for Israel over a period of years and bring it down to zero. We can do it. And he went ballistic. He said, no way, you can't do that, because he was so concerned with our security, which he believed was your security, that he actually fought the prime minister of Israel on keeping America's aid or actually increasing it. And that tells you what kind of a person this extraordinary friend was.
The boldness, the arrogance of this. And again, I don't want to get rid of Israel. I don't want a river to the sea. I don't support the Islamicists. But I cannot support Israel primarying our leaders.
We know why young people are, and you know, middle-aged people are against the next war. Because we'd be the ones fighting it. They're trying to bring back the draft. Screw that. We're not going to fight some other country's wars, are we?
I cannot support Israel openly bragging they basically control our foreign policy and now want domestic control, and 38 states have passed laws that if you criticize Israel, you can't have a government contract or a state job. And if you do get a job, it's a felony in Texas and a bunch of other states. The laws vary, but 38 have the laws. I mean, this is un-American stuff.
The ambassador, who's also a Republican, said, well, you might say that America let Israel survive, but it's Jews who created America. And he goes through, you know, how much of America was based on the Torah, how the original symbol of the United States proposed by Benjamin Franklin was Moses parting the sea, that, you know, many of the original symbols of America come from the Bible. And there are many references to the Bible in the early writings of American patriots. I quote some of them in my book.
Israel gives us as much as we give them. And a lot of Americans never fully understand that.
This is social credit score stuff. When the Democrats do it, I'm against it. When the EU does it, when the UK does it, when Brazil does it, I'm against it. And I'm against it when Republicans are doing this. It's unbelievable. The Defense Authorization Act 2027. Now passed out of committee in the full House. It looks like Israel may get its merger, lifetime fusion, integration, these are all terms, marriage with the U.S. military and intelligence. They got an intelligence bill, does the same thing with Senator Cotton. Unbelievable. Will the Senate sign up this special office that merges everything from research and development right down to battlefield, right down to telemetry, and they co-own our military equipment and sales of it around the world, $1 trillion of it a year? Man, that is bold. And now it's passed out of both committees and is in the full House, and they got the votes.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
There is a war. It's happening now. It will decide the fate of humanity. The time has come to choose sides. We are the resistance. Join us and share the links now at AlexJonesLive.com.
Do not help fund the resistance. You sit comfortably. You consume. You watch. You wait for others to fight the battle for you. The dark side has you firmly in its grasp. Every day, you remain on the sidelines. My power grows stronger. Continue believing someone else will save the galaxy. It pleases me greatly.
Real time, uncensored, unstoppable. AlexJonesLive.com. Take a stand. Share the link.
Do you want to fight? You better believe you got one!
Nothing can stop me. The force lies within.
There is no escape from what you are becoming. Lay down your weapon or be destroyed.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Annihilate.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to War Room Live. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this Tuesday afternoon. Hope you're all doing well. We got a lot of stories to cover, some breaking news about what's going on in Iran as the, I guess it's a new war now. I don't know if y'all have seen this. It's one of these great examples of the way that our bureaucracy is a little bit malleable whenever they want it to be. The Congress is supposed to declare the war. Now, there are provisions for the executive branch to do warlike actions, but they have to be contained, they have to be for a certain purpose, and they have to finish within 60 days. And at 60 days, either the Congress has to actually vote to go to war and you can continue your operation, or you have to end the operation because it's now officially a war. Well, apparently we have not been at war with Iran since April 7th. That was when the first war ended, 59 days in. Luckily, got it just under the line there. So that was over. That was the first Iran war. We won. It was amazing. 60 days, you know, done. Job completed. And now it's a new war. Now this is an entirely different war with the same aims and in the same timetable. And yes, everything is exactly, it is the same war, but, you know, by saying it's a different war, now we get to do it without congressional approval. Because nothing really matters, because the laws that we have are only there so that the powerful can use them to get their way. But if they're an impediment to the elite getting their way, then they don't really matter. They don't really matter that much, actually. So yeah, we have a new Iran. We are now in the midst of the new Iran war, I guess, to memorialize Lindsey Graham. You know, he really was Holden Bloodfeast. I mean, the man's like last known statement was him being like, I gotta get another war in the Middle East. I can't go to the doctor now. I've got wars to start. So maybe it's in memory of him that we're doing this, but this is absurd. Let's go now to clip number one. This is Donald Trump this morning in the White House with the Prime Minister of Iraq, talking about Iran and what's going to happen next. Let's watch.
Everything is going to work out. I think people are, the Middle East, believe it or not, is coming together. We're getting rid of the bully of the Middle East. Iran was the bully of the Middle East. They bullied Iraq. They bullied every country. There was fear all over the Middle East.
I see an example of fear in that frame. Look, I'm no body language expert, but you got the Iraqi prime minister, legs together, hands by his side, just looking down at the ground. It's just like, you know, it's just, it's always surprising. It's always a grab bag. You know, you never know what Trump's going to say. Are we bombing them to hell? We're going to destroy them. We're going to turn them all into dust. Or they're great guys and we're working with them. And the Middle East is collapsing. It's falling apart. But also everybody's coming together. pure, unrelenting insanity. Here's the next part of their little discussion.
We're going to have a long-term relationship with a man that will be a great leader. You mark my words. I knew what I was doing. This man is going to be a great leader in the Middle East, beyond Iraq.
This man's going to be a great leader in the Middle East, beyond Iraq. Okay. So now it sounds like the original plan of overthrow Iran by killing the supreme leader and installing a puppet ruler, that didn't really work out. They've killed their way down the line. It was just actually reported and revealed that one person they wanted to put at the head of Iran was Ahmadinejad. If y'all remember him, a former Iranian president is now under house arrest in Iran after the regime uncovered ties to Israel and Mossad. So for years, Israel conducted a covert operation aimed at recruiting former Iranian President Ahmadinejad as an intelligence asset and, at a later stage, even planned to install him as Iran's leader. And it shows that actually he received payments from Mossad and had met with them secretly multiple times. Pretty interesting. Maybe that didn't. So it sounds like now they're just going to try to carve up Iran. I mean, from what I just heard from Trump, him saying that this guy's going to be a great leader in Iraq, but also beyond Iraq. So it sounds like maybe they're just trying to like carve up Iran and they'll give a chunk of it to all of its neighbors. More desperation, more desperate dealing. When in reality, we should have never done this. But we did do it. Well, Trump did. Trump decided to get us into this, and now we're stuck. This is just our life, guys. It's so crazy. Everything is like this. It's just crazy. Literally, we're just like on the first day of the Iran war. We're sitting here like, all right, they're going to close down the Strait of Hormuz. You're not going to be able to overthrow. Like, we just called it all perfectly, and we just have to sit here for like months on end as the cat turds and the Andrew Myers and the just MAGA people just like, no, but what about that? But we're going to take their oil. And actually, this is all about China. And it's just like, oh my God. We just have to sit here and we're just right. We're just dead on the money months before everybody else. And we just have to sit here and get called idiots for months on end until we are inevitably proven correct. And it's just unbelievably infuriating. And it's the same thing as COVID or anything else. We just sit here like, okay, here's how this is going to happen. A, B, C, D, E. Let's watch. And then we just have to sit here for months on end watching it unfold. It's just retarded. Let's go to clip number four here. This is Representative Tim Burchett talking about that this Iran war is never actually going to end. We're never actually going to get out of this. Let's watch.
It's not ever going to end until we get down to we get a regime change down to somebody that we can do business with. And they're going to have to get away from the religious leaders. I think, and get a military leader to run the country.
But of course, the IRGC is in charge of the country right now because you killed the religious leaders, most of them. Again, this would all be like frustrating and like baffling. Like, this would be so baffling if it wasn't just obvious why all of this is happening, right? If you just took them at face value, took their words at face value, took their statements as truthful on the face of it, then we would be dealing with the biggest bunch of retards the world has ever seen. You cannot believe that this was on accident. You cannot believe that they're actually trying to achieve the goals they claim to be trying to achieve, because everything they do drives that goal farther away. So it would be incredibly, I don't know, kind of terrifying to think that all of this was happening as it's being presented, when the reality is that the people waging this war don't give a damn about America. They don't even give a damn about the world economy. They are just sort of hyper motivated to render Iran, the country of Iran, just a chaotic waste field. Then all of this makes perfect sense. And once again, I'll say again. And, you know, this is kind of similar. I don't know. Kind of I related to like what I was talking about with Charlie Kirk, the assassination yesterday, how like you have one solid thing that you just absolutely know to be true and you build off of that. For me, it was that first video I saw of everybody turning to where the gunshot came from. And it's just like, okay, Charlie was shot from an elevated position. That's what I start with because that's what happened. And now you can build off of that. For this, it's like what we start with is the understanding that Israel wants the Greater Israel Project. And that to achieve the Greater Israel Project, they have to eliminate all rivals in the area. The only existing belligerent rival in the area is Iran. They have to destroy Iran. They have to get rid of the Iranian regime because without doing that, then they'll never have freedom of action in the Middle East. They'll never be able to achieve the Greater Israel Project. To overthrow the Iranian government, they require American boots on the ground. That has been their goal this entire time. How do we get American boots on the ground? That's all they care about because they have to get that goal. That goal is made more severe, important, necessary because of the immense and irreversible damage that the Israelis have done to their own reputation. So now taking out Iran is not just something they need to get the Greater Israel Project done. Now they've gambled so much on this. They've done so much damage to their reputation, a reputation that is necessary to uphold in order to get the foreign aid that they require to survive, that they are going to be destroyed if they don't first take out Iran. So again, all the talks of the ceasefires, all the talks of the MOU, we always said this isn't going to last. This isn't going to actually happen because Israel hasn't gotten their goal yet. They haven't achieved what they want to achieve. So this isn't going to stop. They are not trying to find a better ruler because they want Iran to thrive as a secular country. They murdered those people. They're not doing anything other than trying to render it another Syria. You know, maybe if they could get an Jolani type character there, maybe that's what they're deciding now is, can they stretch the Syrian resources enough to both invade Lebanon from the north and go after Iran? Maybe they're deciding which of those is the priority in all of this. But yeah, it seems to me like that statement of him talking about the prime minister of Iraq and saying he's going to be a great leader beyond Iraq, that's very informative to me. I'm just seeing if there's anything else about the actual war in Iran that we want to get to, because we're going to stick on this general topic for a little while, because we'll start with the Iran war and, you know, where all of this is, where all of our energy and all of this wasted effort is going. Again, I can just imagine another world. You can just imagine, like, what if Trump said no? What if he, like Biden and Obama and Bush before him, who all were presented with his exact ultimatum from Israel, you either attack Iran or we're going to attack Iran with nukes. He's the only one that fell for it. What if he didn't? What if instead of Iran, what if instead of anti-Semitism, what instead of all this stuff dominating our headlines every single day, monopolizing the governmental energy of America, what if we just didn't do that? What would the situation be now? Now, in July 2026, would Israel be a smoking crater? No, obviously not. So what did we gain? What did we get for this? Nothing. So we're going to continue to talk about, yes, the war in Iran, but more importantly, the takeover of America by Israel and the Jewish diaspora. And when I say Israel, you can think of the nation or you can think of the people, but Israel. So let's go to clip 23 here. This is Benjamin Netanyahu apparently threatening to use nuclear weapons. He gave this speech in Dimona, which is where the secretive Israeli nuclear stockpile is. Let's watch. He says, we are prepared for any scenario. I can tell you only one thing. And I will say this to the leaders of Iran. Do not count on it being quiet. If you attack us, do not count on a rerun. Because it will not be a rerun. And that was already powerful enough. There will be a different event, much more powerful. The days when somebody hurts us and we do not strike them back twofold are over. We did this to the axis of evil in Iran and will continue to do it to anyone who harms us. That's what we do. Oh, they're so tough. Oh, those Israelis are so tough. They just failed for the third time to take over Lebanon, folks. They can't even take over Lebanon. Third time they've tried. They failed in 1985, they failed in 2006, and they failed in 2026 to take over a country the size of New Jersey that's right next door to them, hardly can keep the power on half the day. Israel can't even take over them. They're the weakest army that's ever existed. Israelis, they only, and this is something, again, if you've watched the Rise and Kill First series, I mean, it is the most pertinent thing you could possibly read to understand the situation in the Middle East, because there's a couple through lines, a couple consistencies. One of them is that they always resort to violence as the first option, the Israelis, the Jews. And it's not necessary. Like in Rise and Kill First, there's a story about a bunch of German Lutherans that moved to the Promised Land at about the same time the Israelis do, but the Germans just start orange groves, built a nice neighborhood, started like funding hospitals, provided some of the like, you know, most prominent citizens of the city, integrated into the community, brought wealth and prosperity. What happened? I'm sorry. Are you asking what happened to those Lutherans? The Israelis murdered them all. Seriously, and took their houses. It's actually where the Mossad and the Shin Bet and the Amman were headquartered for a while. It's, I believe it's still the headquarters of the IDF, is this neighborhood where a bunch of German Lutherans were creating a thriving civilization until the Israelis decided they were all Nazis and assassinated all of them and drove the rest away. But the point of me saying this is you have actually pertinent contemporary examples of foreign populations going to Jerusalem, going to Palestine, creating communities and thriving there. And then you have the psychotic, you know, Pale of Settlement Jewish socialist radicals show up and decide, actually, we have to murder everybody here. That's the only way we'll ever be safe. Never necessary. Totally unnecessary. And it's over and over again. The British are helping to settle the like Holocaust survivors to the air, but it's not happening quite fast enough. So the Israelis kill the English people. And it's just like literally none of this was necessary. You could have just moved there. You could have just lived there. You never had to murder everyone, but they always got to go to murder. That's the only option. There's like a religious or communal allergy against settling things diplomatically. They just won't do it. It's infuriating. But the other thing is that they suck. Like Mossad, Amman, Shin Bet, they fail about 90% of their missions. I might even be a little bit generous here. It never matters because they always have diplomatic cover and they've got agents in every government all over the world. So, I mean, they always get away with it. But it was another thing that you found where if their target had any awareness that they might be targeted, they could almost never kill the person. Like if the person was just like aware, like, oh, Mossad's trying to kill me, I better take some measures against that, then, you know, they wouldn't be able to get to him. They'd blow up a house. The guy wasn't there. They'd send him a mail bomb. His secretary would open it. I mean, they're murdering just everybody all the time, but they have a really hard time killing anybody that knows they're coming. If, on the other hand, the person, like it's like the Lutherans, it's like German Lutherans who have no idea that they're being hunted, then yeah, those succeed. They're really good at killing people who have no idea they're even in a fight or a war or being hunted at all. They're really, that's when they can carry out some really spectacular stuff. But if they're throwing rocks at Israelis, you know, then there's trouble. But there's a very interesting total, utter, and complete lack of humility at any point. Failure after failure, they never seem to notice. There's one example. There's the Lilyhammer affair, where six IDF, or, you know, Israeli assassins, think they found a Palestinian leader who's living in Norway. Turns out it's just some Moroccan dude. So six, you know, high-level Israeli assassins appear in Norway, kill a Moroccan waiter on a date with his pregnant wife. Then they, like, return the rental car that they did the assassin. They all get caught within, like, 3 hours. They get sentenced to, like, 5 years in prison because the Israeli government makes a deal with the Norway government. What do you think happens when they get back to Israel? Because what actually happened is they were given a giant parade and celebrated like they were heroes. And it's like, these guys just went to Norway and murdered a waiter. That's what they did. They failed their mission. They killed an innocent person. They embarrassed Israel completely. They probably cost you some, you know, diplomatic favors. But they're heroes. But it doesn't matter. But they're heroes. And it's great. So when you see Benjamin Netanyahu, and again, it's this like, it will be so much bigger than you have. It's like, we get it. We get it. You're a bunch of crazy psychopaths. You have nuclear weapons. You stole them from us. You sold some of the material to the Soviet Union in South Africa or wherever else. You infiltrated our scientific programs. You infiltrated our military. You betrayed us. You're traitors. We get it. You built nuclear weapons. And now if anybody doesn't give you your way, you're going to, you know, blow everybody up. We get it. You're a bunch of children with a gun. We understand. It's like, I don't know, just something about the whole, like it'll be much more powerful. It's like, we get it. We get it. Who's the bully of the Middle East? Trump's like, we're getting rid of the bully of the Middle East. Meanwhile, Netanyahu's like, maybe the next one will be even a bigger explosion. Maybe this explosion will irradiate you. And it's like, we get it. We get it. You're a bunch of petulant little bullies who aren't getting your way. So you have to murder a bunch of people in Beirut and try to set off a nuke in Iran. The reason this is really important is because it's true. They're psychopaths that will blow up the world. They will not hesitate. They do not value anything but themselves. So if themselves are targeted, if they think they're about to, they will blow up the entire world. Literally. I mean, you know the Samson option. It's not just the nukes in Dimona. It's the nukes on submarines all around the world. There's also probably nukes stashed in countries all throughout the world. If you know Israel, you know they're doing, you know, it took them 10 years to do the Apollo gold pagers to blow up Hezbollah. You don't think they are seeding nuclear weapons in, you know, European capitals? They absolutely are. They're dangerous psychopaths who are nuclear armed. And the reason I say that is because what could defeat a power like that? It ain't going to be Hezbollah. It's not even going to be Iran. It has to be America. America's the only one that could do it. We actually could, if we wanted to actually eliminate the primary threat to human existence, then we could, using our influence, using our power with Israel, we could very safely go in like a hostage situation. We are the special forces that could slip in, disarm the hostage taker before anybody else could get shot. Anybody else tries to do it, the hostage taker is going to start shooting everybody. Israel's going to start launching bombs off. America could actually deal with this issue, disarm them, and create a safer world. But it's up to us. We're the only ones that could possibly do it. But we won't, because they've infiltrated us and taken us over. We'll get to that on the other side.
My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts. Go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. It's globalist siege. It's globalist economic warfare. It's a globalist blockade, an embargo, sanctions against American populist patriots. For everyone that's been watching and listening to me for years, you've seen the attacks. You've seen the deplatforming. You've seen the court battles, the news articles, the demonization, the bogus default judgments. We even have FBI and CIA operatives on hidden camera talking about how their entire goal was to take me out at the knees by knocking out my ability to accept payments. And that model they used on me, they admit, is for all of you.
Alex Jones.
Yeah, so we were after him.
So with Alex Jones. And the goal with him was what, just to bankrupt him?
Pretty much.
Well, because of First United payments and your support, they failed. And they failed because I had a processor with a backbone who loves America and believes in the free market. One who stands up for American justice and who didn't back down when they received threatening messages and pressure from other major institutions. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Consolidation, vertical integration, that is the goal of the BlackRock globalist system. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. This is the key to their entire panopticonic takeover plan in their own words. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. Visit First United Payments now at FirstUnitedPayments.com. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. That's 877-899-1313. The tyrants are counting on us not to innovate. They're counting on us not to migrate to institutions and organizations that are pro-human just like us. This isn't some new company. I've been using them for almost a decade. They're already taking care of most of the patriots. Whether you're a florist, have a gas station, or you're a farmer, or you've got a little five and dime shop or a factory, whatever it is, online merchants, this is the place for you. These guys are patriots and they're in our corner. They're Americans just like us and they hate the New World Order with a passion. They believe in the free market and they understand this is 1776 2.0. 90% of it is information warfare and financial. And this is just as important as the right to self-defense and guns. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Thank you so much. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
All right, welcome back, folks. This is War Room Live, the Alex Jones Network. AlexJonesLive.com is where you can find us. I was going to say we're back at war in Iran, but no, it's a new war. It's a whole new war. It's a whole new thing. Legally, it's got to be. I don't, you know, what do we even make of this? Yesterday, Marco Rubio came out and said, we're opening the Strait of Hormuz. No one's charging tolls. It's going to be free and open like it always was. And exactly the same time, Donald Trump was saying, actually, we're going to take a 20% cut of everything. Now, he's backed off that since then. But just an example of the type of messaging that's coming out of the Trump administration. You get exactly opposite statements on exactly the same day from two different figures. So I can't even figure out. I mean, obviously, we want the Strait open. We, the people, we, the humanity, want the Strait open. But I'm not sure where we are now in that back and forth. I guess Trump is now unleashing strikes against Iran in order to keep the Strait open. Okay. So this is the latest. We are now on the side of we're keeping the Strait open, not we're the ones closing it down or we're the ones blockading it. We are now the ones opening it. Here's a report from Fox News earlier today.
The Massive operations underway. CENTCOM posting brand new video of flight operations aboard the USS George H.W. Bush in the Arabian Sea. Some of this is from last night and today. And then you will see some images of the aircraft carrier itself as we enter night four now of the new ongoing punishing strikes against Iran. Some 300 strikes, U.S. strikes against Iran since July 10th. U.S. allies, including Bahrain and the UAE, have been struck. We have bases in both of those places. And then separately on the waters, on the strait, one person was killed and eight were injured aboard a commercial vessel that was struck by Iran. So this is a very, very active scene, as you can tell. All this as we count down to 4 p.m. Eastern, which is just about 44 minutes away from right now, as the blockade is being reassembled. The United States reassembling the naval blockade against Iranian traffic in and out of the strait.
All right, so there you go. U.S. reimposes blockade on Iran's ports after Iranian attacks in the Strait of Hormuz. We have launched yet another wave of this war. Things seem so promising with the MOU mere weeks ago, expecting this to be the first step in a long sought after peace. But no, Israel wouldn't leave Lebanon. So now we're back at war. Now, remember, that's what this is all about. The memorandum of understanding would have been in place, except that America was unwilling or unable to hold Israel to account for that first provision of the MOU, which said that Israel has to get out of Lebanon. If they had just done that, if they'd even just paused momentarily, we could be at peace right now. Of course, we could have been at peace if Israel hadn't tricked us into this in the first place, but this is all. We are restarting the war now. We are once again plunging the world into economic peril, which may kill billions down the line if we can't grow food. God only knows where things happen, where things go next. And all of this is being done for one simple reason. So Israel can bomb Beirut. So Israel can continue their unwinnable war against a bunch of civilians to their north. That's what this is all about. That's the only thing that had to happen was Israel saying, all right, we'll pull back to where we previously were. They didn't even have to leave Lebanon fully. They didn't have to. They just had to stop bombing civilians for a little while, and they just wouldn't do it. They didn't want to do it, so here we are in yet another endless war, courtesy of Israel. Trump says Iran investment deals will replace Hormuz fee as U.S. hits Iran in fourth night of attacks. U.S. carried out a third night of strikes against Iran after President Trump said he's reinstating the blockade of Iranian shipping. Trump said trade and investment deals with the Gulf states will replace the 20% fee for ships to pass through the Strait of Hormuz that he'd proposed a day earlier. The United Arab Emirates says at least two tankers came under Iranian fire in the Strait of Hormuz that Iran insists it has the right to control. Bahrain and Jordan say they intercepted new Iranian attacks on Tuesday as Tehran retaliates with missiles and drones across the Gulf. And U.S. Central Command just posted on X saying the military had begun launching more strikes. We can go to clip number 19 here. This is, again, Trump in the Oval Office talking about the strikes against Iran that have started up again.
Gave them a chance. I wanted to give them a chance at making a deal. You know, we had a deal 2 days ago. It was done. And then all of a sudden, they couldn't do it. They didn't like something about the deal. They couldn't do it. And they shot first. And that was a big mistake that they shot first, because we have been knocking the hell out of them. They're very difficult people. 47 years we put up with it. The SS Cole. You go back all the way, thousands of people, thousands of Americans were killed, a lot of soldiers were killed. A lot of soldiers are walking around or not walking around. I mean, they've been so badly injured.
U.S. forces presumed the naval blockade, resumed the naval blockade against vessels transiting end from Iranian ports and coastal areas today at 4 p.m. There are currently more than 20 U.S. Navy warships and hundreds of military aircraft operating across the Middle East. American forces remain vigilant, lethal, and ready. We are vigilant, lethal, and ready. We are at your service, Mr. Netanyahu. Whatever you need from us, we are ready and willing to use our incredible power, incredible military, incredible diplomatic gravitas so that you can continue to slaughter babies in Gaza. We are at your service, sir. Amazing. Amazing the power we can bring to bear.
the incredible change we can affect the world over. By the way, our kids can't read. By the way, the whole reading thing has sort of taken a big blow in the last couple of years. Our kids, they can't read anymore, but it's fine. It's fine. It's not like you need literacy to run a globe-spanning empire or anything. It's not like while we're busy making sure that Israel has freedom of action to slaughter its neighbors, we are watching our entire nation be hollowed out from the inside by the very same people we're helping in the Middle East. Iran launches brazen attacks on more tankers in Hormuz, killing sailors after Araghchi mocks Trump's toll plan. And this is the frustrating thing about hearing Trump talk about this. Is it, you know, maybe he's just putting on the appearance for appearance's sake, but, you know, part of me thinks he actually, you know, believes the crap he says about the military, which is completely inconsistent and totally unjustifiable with the fact that they keep ending negotiations on their terms. Oh, Trump formally informs Congress of Iran war resumption. See, that's because they're supposed to vote. That's because if we're going to be in a war like we are, like because this is a war, then the Congress should vote on it and they should say that we're in war. But they're not doing that because of this little trick they pulled. Isn't that nice? They get to pull tricks like that. Like he's like, oh, they're begging for a deal. It's like, do you not see a bit of an inconsistency when you're constantly saying they're begging for a deal one day and the very next deal you're explaining how you had a deal going, but then Iran decided to start bombing you again? It's like, it doesn't sound like they're desperate for a deal. It sounds like you've got kind of nothing that you're willing to offer them that's sufficient to stop them from fighting, and it doesn't seem like they want to stop fighting. Seems like they want to continue this for a while. They seem pretty confident is what I'm saying. They seem pretty confident in their ability to weather this storm, and actually the longer it goes on, the better their position seems to be getting. So we never should have done this, obviously. But, you know, all of this is very useful in enacting the real important program, which is to eliminate freedom here in the United States. And they're doing this despite massive upcry against it. And again, you know, we went over it yesterday, but you can go through the headlines and it's like houses are more expensive than they've ever been before. The economy is worse for the average person than it's ever been before. There's no jobs. The H-1B visa scandal is, you know, just stripping hundreds of thousands of Americans out of the middle class. The literacy rate is collapsing. I mean, it's just problem after problem after problem. And then correspondingly, our government is going to war with the ICC on behalf of Benjamin Netanyahu. We're obviously starting this new war in Iran. It's just everything our government is doing is hyper-focused on delivering everything they can to Israel while our own country is being destroyed and taken over by Israel. And so we're going to talk now about the Section 224, Section 219, these attempts to fully merge the Israeli military with the American one. But it's important to first set up the backdrop of the fact that if they did, they would sacrifice their pride for a few days to stop bombing Lebanon so that we could get peace with Iran. They are willing to sell us down the river. They are willing to destroy us entirely if they think they can get any benefit from it. And listen to what I'm saying. I'm not saying that if it comes down to the choice between do you save America or do you save Israel, they'll choose Israel. That's true, of course. I'm saying that if we don't do everything that they say, they will destroy us. If we try to get them to get out of Lebanon, they'll like set nukes off. Like they're insane. They're insane people that we shouldn't be allies with, let alone have any access whatsoever to our military intelligence or technology. This is absurd beyond description. Thomas Massie, of course, has been very much on top of this. Here's what he had to say about the NDAA amendment trying to integrate the IDF with our American military.
I think what's even more concerning is in the NDAA, Section 219, which is going to start commingling our military supply chains and technology with Israel's. It doesn't make sense to do that with a country of 10 million people. But they've got that in the NDAA. I'm told that's not coming up this week, but we know it's going to come up sometime, probably sometime soon. And so I've offered an amendment to strip Section 219, it was called Section 224, from that bill.
And you've had success in the past with discharge petitions to push legislation that leadership wasn't necessarily aligned with. Do you see that in the case of these measures regarding Israel?
Well, they're going to give me a vote, so we don't have to do the discharge petition on the defunding in the State Department. As far as Section 219, I mean, that is a place where you could use a discharge petition, but you got to know that you're going to get 218 signatures, and that's rather difficult right now. We'll see how the defund vote goes.
So. And on
Representative Massey proposes NDAA amendment preventing integration of IDF with U.S. military. Congress Thomas Massey expressed his concerns about Section 219 in the NDAA. He said that would start commingling our military supply chains and technology with Israel's, saying these are unbelievable projects, so we invest jointly and take the fruits equally. You move from aid to partnership, and I think that represents what America is, he says. Now, Israel is, he says. Now, on the other hand, is that we share with America unbelievable intelligence to save American lives. This is Netanyahu saying this. So this is his explanation for it, which is why it doesn't really make any sense. It's like we invest jointly and we get the fruits equally. You move from aid to partnership. And I think that represents what Israel is. Now, the other thing that we share is with America is unbelievable intelligence to save American lives. Yeah, like the intelligence that if you kill Ayatollah Khomeini, Iran would fall. That was some of the intelligence they gave us. Of course, they withheld intelligence that would have helped us to prevent 9/11. But other times they have given us information like where Soleimani was so Trump could assassinate him. Or they gave us intelligence on, where to bomb Iran on their behalf, right? Not really so much intelligence to help us protect ourselves, but intelligence that's untrue, manipulated, and designed to get America to do what they want for them, to get America to do Israel's bidding. They do provide select and often fabricated evidence like that Saddam Hussein was developing weapons of mass destruction, that type of intelligence that they like to share with us. This is from Michael Goolsbee at Michael Goolsbee V on X. Section 219 doesn't just expand cooperation with Israel, it creates a permanent bureaucracy and a powerful executive agent reporting directly to the Secretary of War, whose statutory mission is to institutionalize ever deeper integration between the U.S. and Israeli defense establishments. Data fusion, integrated systems, and shared supply chains do more than improve cooperation. They expose operational knowledge, create long-term institutional dependencies, and make it increasingly difficult to separate America's defense enterprise from that of another nation wherever our interests diverge. In practice, the executive agent would be driven to accelerate joint technology programs, co-production, supply chain integration, information sharing, and the incorporation of Israeli origin systems onto U.S. platforms. Each decision might appear modest or even reasonable in isolation. Taken together, however, they will steadily expand foreign access to Americans' defense industrial base, emerging technologies, operational concepts, military networks, and future capabilities while reducing the United States' freedom to act independently. There will also be massive amounts of money and the powerful institutional and commercial interests that follow it invested in these joint programs. Once these constituencies exist, the pressure will be to expand integration, not to unwind it. The United States already cooperates extensively with allies around the world. What makes Section 219 unprecedented is that Congress would create a permanent Pentagon office dedicated to deepening integration with one foreign country's defense establishment. That office would exist to ask whether each new layer of integration serves America's independent interest. It would exist to find new opportunities to deepen that integration. That's what bureaucracies do. America's defense establishment should answer to one nation, advance one national interest, and serve only one sovereign, the American people. Section 219 erodes American sovereignty by progressively blurring the distinction between America's defense establishment and Israel's. For Americans and in the eyes of the world, that distinction must never be blurred. Section 219 is completely unprecedented, totally unnecessary, deeply deceptive, and has no place in American law. But I would expand beyond that, because again, I think if you look at this in a holistic bird's eye view sort of fashion, it seems like the plan, like Israel has served its purpose up to a point, and now it's almost like it's expanding out of Israel. So as we've reported, I mean, the Israeli government is buying islands off the coast of Greece to create Israeli colonies, essentially. You also have, of course, the actual power brokers in the Jewish diaspora, the extended Israeli control structure with people like Jared Kushner trying to buy up, you know, a giant militarized island in Albania, again, to create another sort of isolated colony, but also happens to be at a strait where they could control shipping, since there's already an Israeli colony on the boot of Israel right across the strait from the Albanian area that the Kushners are trying to take over. Obviously, there's a lot of talk about this in Argentina. Some new laws have just passed allowing foreign investors to buy up large swaths of Patagonia that happen to be damaged in wildfires while a bunch of Israeli tourists were running around doing suspicious things. We know they're crazy. So when you picture this from their point of view, and that's all I try to do, is imagine you're one of these people putting this in place. What do you really want with Section 219? It is incrementalism. It's, you know, cranking up the heat on the boiling pot of water, but not enough to get the frogs to jump out, right? They're not seizing American military, but they are integrating themselves more into it because they see America as sort of their base of operations, their military power. They see America as a colony of Israel, and they're trying to solidify and sort of officialize that fact. And all these other things that are happening at the same time are all in coordination with this merger and this takeover. So as they're creating these new offices will slowly accrue power to themselves until they are essentially the ones running the operations in total. And that means that the anti-Semitism offices, the thing we covered yesterday, the JASA, the Jewish American Safety Act, where it's attempting to, you know, criminalize anti-Semitism in obvious violation of the First Amendment. You have to be able to see all of these as puzzle pieces so you can see the whole image, right? I feel like a problem a lot of people have is they'll hyper-focus on, you know, Section 219, or they will be very concerned about what's going on in Albania, or they're, you know, concerned about the free speech ramifications of the anti-Semitism bills. The thing you have to understand is if you're just looking at one of these things, all you're seeing is one by one inch section of a much, much larger picture that I'm trying to describe to you here, which is a global control system that will operate inside the governments of nations, but is in fact taking orders and headquartered outside of those nations in Israel. But what they're doing is they're setting up the corporate and governmental infrastructure for the classically imagined New World Order prison planet, where Israel will be the capital of the world and its agents will occupy positions of power in every nation at every level. And, you know, national borders will exist as long as they're useful, but they'll eventually be dissolved and you'll probably have something that looks almost exactly like the Brave New World, 10 kingdoms, 10 populations categorized by continents and ruled by a single centralized bureaucracy that operates out of Israel. Like, this is what they're setting up. They're doing it in a sophisticated way, but they're doing it in a universal way. Like, everything is moving in this direction. And I don't know how more people don't see it. So, you know, we'll continue to cover this and, you know, try to elucidate it. We go at least to clip number 5 here. This is Benjamin Netanyahu once again talking about Lebanon. The latest, as you saw flash across the screen there, is that Donald Trump demanded that Bibi Netanyahu withdraw from Lebanon, and Bibi Netanyahu said, no, thank you. So there we are. Here's Benjamin Netanyahu. He says, I promised we would change the face of the Middle East, and indeed we have. We changed the game in the Middle East. There's no more threat of threats. There are no more colors of terror on our borders. There are buffer zones that we created deep in the territory of neighbors surrounding Gaza and inside Gaza, surrounding Lebanon and inside Lebanon, surrounding the Golan Heights inside Syria, So just again, casually talking about the fact that, yes, they are taking over their neighbors. Yeah, they are expanding territorially. They are conquering and annexing more land. Oh, but they're, no, I'm sorry, they're creating security buffer zones. It's just the way you create a security buffer zone is you carpet bomb an area and then kill anybody that you missed. So creating a buffer zone, that's what they're doing. And we have to help them. We have to serve them. We have to do absolutely everything they need the moment they need it, or else they're going to nuke us. And we deserve it, actually, because of the Holocaust, I'm pretty sure. After all, you know, Alex Karp almost got turned into a lampshade. I don't know if you guys heard this, but hero of the world and totally not schizophrenic genius, Alex Karp, leader of Palantir. I don't know if you heard this, but he almost got turned into a lampshade, which I find extremely interesting. Because this is a new, he's telling us something about the Holocaust that we've never heard before. Now, everybody knows that they skinned Jews alive and made lampshades out of their skin. And if you don't believe that, you go to jail in Europe, okay? So no questioning it, all right? That absolutely happened. But here's the thing. Alex Karp wasn't alive during the Holocaust. So what Alex Karp is informing us here, saying that if his family hadn't gotten out of Germany, he himself would have been a lampshade, is that the Nazis must have been running a sort of intergenerational lampshade farm. That's what Alex Karp is letting us know. Because he wasn't alive there. How do you turn somebody into a lampshade if they aren't even born? You keep their parents like cattle, and then you treat the babies like cattle, like you skin them. So, I mean, this is a big deal from the fevered paranoia of Alex Karp's retarded mind. It's very concerning. It's very, you know, you thought you'd heard the worst about the Nazis. You thought turning, you know, Alex Karp's grandparents into lampshades was the worst thing they could do. No, they were going to keep his parents alive, not turn him into lampshades until they could give birth to Alex Karp so that he could be raised and eventually turned into a lampshade. They were doing this intergenerationally, folks. Can you believe it? Because you have to. Because you'll go to jail if you don't. Okay. Palantir will send a drone to spray fentanyl-laced urine if you dare to suggest that Alex Karp's family was never in any danger of being turned into any piece of household furniture or decoration. So I say just give them full access. I say just hand over the military to these people because they're clearly not insane and driven by imagined grievances. We'll be right back with more, and there's a lot more, folks. Stay tuned.
Jones is off the air.
There's a lot of noise right now.
Taking me off the air. It is beyond essential that you continue to spread the word about the broadcast and continue to support us.
That's usually when it matters most to have people in your corner who don't flinch. We've been a partner of this program and of Alex's for a long time.
I'm handing out ice water in the Sahara. I mean, it is such the top rated, the biggest company because they're the best. And he's a patriot.
We're not going anywhere, and that commitment runs to you. Here's the part that matters. With us, it's 8% when you buy and 0% when you sell. And here's something else. After you make your first purchase and become a client, if you're holding metals you bought somewhere else, bring them to us. We'll help you liquidate them. No commission. That means even if you didn't originally buy them from us, we'll still take care of you. That's not a promotion. It's not something that's for a limited time only. That's just the way we do business. Give us a call, and we'll bend over backwards to help you.
Visit kepm.com/gold to get started, or give us a call at 720-605-3900, and let us help you make room for what matters most.
Spot price of the metal in the ground. Manufacturers, miners haven't even touched it yet. Then they pull the metal out of the ground, they dig their tunnels, they drive it to the refinery, they melt it down, make it into a coin or a bar. That's wholesale. That's usually 3-5% over spot. We charge 8% on top of wholesale. When you liquidate, we charge zero.
Buy gold and silver bullion at wholesale. You can look every day what the price is, type in what's wholesale gold and silver, and then you get it from them with a little processing fee, and then they buy it back for nothing with no cost. That's unprecedented. It's so easy. KPM.com/gold. Get a free telephone consultation email. You call 720-605-3900. 720-605-3900.
If you are
receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.